Today on Real Radio.
He says, Timothy, I know you're a young punk. God's called you, man. Grow up. And listen, Timothy, don't let anybody put you down because you're young. And in fact, he's going to say, but be an example. That word but is where, hey, rebuttal. Rebuttal. You want to rebuttal your age, Timothy? Then be an example. If people are saying, well, he's just a young punk. Well, you want to put their mouths to silence? Be an example, Timothy. You can rebut their comments by being a godly example.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the two letters written by the Apostle Paul to Timothy. We're looking at the last 10 verses of chapter 4, where Paul admonishes Timothy to stay clear of urban legends and the like, and to stick with the teaching of Scripture. It's a presentation called The Superiority of the Spiritual Life. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Listen, if you really want to be a Christian, and if I really want to be a Christian, you need to exercise yourself to godliness. How do you do it? Turn MTV off, which is from the pit anyway. Turn soap operas off. Put on a good Bible tape. So he goes on to say, rather, exercise yourself to godliness. This word also can be translated in the Greek, godliness, to have the right attitudes toward God and the right desires. Or we can call it holiness these days. Holiness. First of all, Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind that was in Christ Jesus be in you also. And that word can also mean, let this attitude that was in Jesus be in you. And that's a big buzzword these days. You got a bad attitude. Hey, our attitude needs to be like Jesus' attitude. We need to let this mind that was in Christ Jesus be in us also. Well, what was the mind that was in Christ Jesus? Listen, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It was the word of God that he thought about. Oh, my soul delights to do thy will, O God. Oh. And then you advance. You know, we know 99.9% of us know so much. We know too much. We're not even putting into practice what we know. Boy, we need to exercise ourselves. Don't you want to be like this in Acts chapter 4, verse 13? Jesus had died, resurrected, and ascended. He's sitting in heaven by this time. In Acts chapter 4, 13, it says, now, when they, that is the authorities, saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated people and untrained men, they marveled. Why? Because they noticed that they had been with Jesus. And Jesus is already sitting in heaven. And the authorities look down and they go, those guys, they got their act together. Yeah, it looks like they've been with Jesus, if you ask me. Wouldn't that be great if people said that about you? About me? What are you, some kind of a Christian? Wouldn't that just bless your heart? Don't you want to hear that? And I can't wait. And you can't wait either for Jesus to say, come on in, Betty, thou good and faithful servant. Jack, get on in here. Oh, good and faithful servant. Oh, you just want to, Lord. You just go nuts, you know, and you want people really to say, what's the matter with you? Are you a Christian? Man, it'd be so precious. Listen, you know what Paul is saying right here? He's talking to us in physical analogies and stuff concerning spiritual matters. We need to get pumped for God spiritually. And if we spend an hour and 30 minutes at the gym tomorrow, and we spend 5 minutes in prayer or 5 minutes in the Bible, then you be the judge and I be the judge about what on earth is going on in my walk. I'm not saying you can't spend an hour and a half at the gym. But that evening, you ought to spend an hour and a half in the Word of God. And I ought to do that too. You know what I mean? Why? Hey, man, we'll go forward and we'll be strong. So, he says there in verse 8, for bodily exercise profits a little. That's true. But godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Basically this. He's saying, if you work out, that's good. That's okay. You're going to lose, you know, your big biceps and your firmness in time. So that's okay. But exercise yourself in godly things as well. And so, you know what? I don't know if this will help you. It certainly helps me. But my week is allocated off. And maybe you need to do this. I do this because I need it. On Tuesdays, I meet with various brothers that day in prayer time. Why? Because we're holy molies? No, we need that commitment. I know he's going to be there, so I need to be there. Or I know he's going to be, so we get together. And then Wednesdays, and then Thursdays, and then Fridays, we meet at 5:30 here for prayer, the church. Why? Because we're holy molies? No, because we need it. We're disciplined in our bodies. I want to sleep. Look, everything wants to sleep at 5:30. That's why we get up. I'm hungry. That's why you don't eat. Well, I want to watch soap operas. That's why it's time to pray. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how you look at things, but that's why fasting is so precious. If you've ever fasted and God's put it upon your heart, you're fasting, and all of a sudden, not all of a sudden, but a little bit into the fast, and everyone's different. You'll start to feel a separation between your body and your spirit man. And you, the real you, begins to think and to look at your body like an enemy. Look at you. Look at, I can't believe you. You're lusting for that Twinkie. And your hand goes like this. And you can really, I'm not kidding, you can really feel the spirit man growing. So what do? That's the test. That's the awesome part. And it's great. It's, you know, just do it. It's awesome. As the Lord leads you, it's precious to see who's really in control in your life, you know? So we need to work out for God and not so much for the world. Peter tells us that we need to be careful that we don't wear all this hip clothes and put on all the perfume and all of the macho stuff, because he says that that outward adorning, it's okay, but someone's going to rip it off or steal it from you, or it's going to decay. But rather exercise yourself or adorn yourself with a godly spirit within your life, and that is so precious in the sight of God. Now he says, having promise of the life that now is and that which is to come, that means Christianity is a reality for us now. For the life that now is, we have this hope in Jesus now. For those of you who are here this morning, you may not know Jesus. You know what? The reason why we get through this world is because we know our God is real, and Him being there in heaven and living in our hearts makes our life here such a reality in a true way. We know God is real. We know that He'll see us through. He'll get us through these pains and these illnesses that we're in. We have hope in Him now. But you know what? It's not only now. It's forever. And I don't know about you. I have no problem giving God my eternity. It's day to day. Lord, are we going to be able to pay that bill? God, what if she's not getting better here? What's the story? And that's where your Christianity and my Christianity meets the road. What's happening now? Will God see us through? Are His promises true, or are they not true? Are they true enough for me today? And that is what God is working on. This is boot camp for us. He's teaching us right now. And so He goes on. And he says in verse 9, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, for to this end we both labor. You see that word labor? It means to become stretched almost to the point of snapping. It means to become incredibly weary. It means to be pooped out. Paul says, man, we labor. We labor in the word. We labor at worship. We labor on the streets. We labor street witnessing. We labor for our children. We labor for our wife or for our husband. We minister to the point of exhaustion is what this means. And you go, wow. And I say, wow. And we've got to stop, and I have to stop right now and say, now, wait a minute, this Christian stuff that you're talking about, Jack, that's a little heavy. You know what? I'm not hitting it. It is so heavy, people. It is so precious and so deep. These words mean so much. They are so pregnant with the Word of God and with the meanings. He says, Paul is saying, you stretch and labor to the point that your tendons and ligaments are about to snap in your Christian walk. Are you doing that? Am I doing that? God help us that we do that for Jesus, because it's Jesus we're all doing it for in the first place. And so he says there, and suffer. This is where we get the word, it's agonizo in the Greek. It's agonize. And we agonize. I can tell you now that in this position that God has called me, people think, how cool, he goes up there and works 2 hours a week, Wednesdays and Sundays. You're wrong. Wrong. You know what? The spiritual demands, just forget about the physical demands, the spiritual attack and the spiritual demands, sometimes I wonder if I'm not going insane. And I know you wonder that quite often. But you begin to wonder, what is going on up here? And you begin to pray. Have you ever prayed when it's like the heavens are like blocks? You know what? It's like that a lot. And God, he wants you to pray through. And you minister to somebody and you pour your heart out to them in counseling or something, and you really think they're going to accept the Lord and God's going to move, and they just go, you're nuts. And they get out and slam the door and drive away. After you just, man, that was a pretty good message, God, to them, you know? And hey, that breaks your heart. If you're not ministering in the ministry that you're ministering in from the heart, then you're only reaching the head. And if you reach the head, you'll miss people every time. If you preach from the heart, or if you teach our children in the ministry from the heart, you'll hit them right in the heart. And those little buggers that get saved, and they'll grow up. Like Dwight L. Moody, was led to the Lord by his Sunday school teacher. And Henrietta Mears over here, years ago, at First Baptist of Pomona, that famous church, she led so many people to the Lord in the Sunday school class that she taught at First Baptist Pomona. Billy Graham and J. Edwin Orr and all those used to speak there. And you know what? 350 plus of those converts became pastors of churches throughout the world. That's power. That's a ministry. Why? She ministered in the stretch. She went all the way. And don't you want somebody to go all the way for you? And don't you yourself want to go all the way for Christ? You do, or she wouldn't be here. I know that. And so he says there, we suffer reproach because, here's the why, we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men. Now that's true. Jesus died for all the sins of the world, all mankind. He died for everyone. But look at the second part of the verse. Look at the second part of the verse where he says, especially of those who believe. That word means this, benefiting. It means to benefiting those who believe. You get the maximum benefit out of what Jesus did on the cross, those of us who believe. He died for the sins of the world. But if you're not saved, that isn't going to help you much. That's what it means. That means it especially ministers to us who believe. We're serving a God, people, that's living. He's not some statue somewhere or some image. Our God is living, and so because he's living and because we have the hope of heaven, we can go through hell on earth here, and it makes it all worth its while because we're going unto glory. By the way, this word also speaks of Jesus being your personal Savior, those who are benefiting. I want to share this verse with you. I try to share this verse with you as often as I can because it blesses me so much. But do you know in Zephaniah?
What?
Zephaniah. Matthew, Mark, Luke, Zephaniah. No, it's right near the end of your Bible, right after Zechariah. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17, it says, "For the Lord your God in the midst of you, the Mighty One, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness, and he will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing." Listen, first of all, that word rejoice means he will be bright. He will become illuminated. I don't understand what that means, because God is light. It suggests this. Listen, it says that he will rejoice with gladness over you with singing. You are going to hear God sing. You're going to walk into heaven. Now listen, test this. Listen, you're going to get into heaven and God's going to say, "John, yes." And Jesus, it says in Zephaniah 3:17, he's going to come over there and he's going to sing. You're going to hear him sing over you. That's what it says. And he's going to rejoice. He's going to be bright is the meaning of the word. He's going to be filled with joy. Why? Because you're there. Does that freak you out? I'm going to walk up there, and God's going to go. And I'm going to go, "What are you doing?" And he's going, "Man, I'm glad you're here. Let me sing you a song. Oh, I'm glad you're here." Hey, it's true. Read your Bible, Zephaniah 3:17. He's going to be blessed. He will be blessed that we're there. And so many of us go, "I don't know if I'll ever make it." Listen, he'll get you there. He's going to dance around us and sing with joy. And I don't understand the meaning of it, but I know this. He's got a beautiful voice. And I bet he can really, really express himself in a beautiful way. Isaiah 62:5 says, "As the bridegroom," yeah, you think I'm watering this down. Listen to this. I probably am compared to this. "As the bridegroom," in Isaiah 62:5, "as the bridegroom rejoices," that's that word again, be bright, "over his bride, so shall God rejoice over you." A couple weeks ago, we married two people standing up here. And I went through 6 months of counseling with them, and they were precious people. And we did the wedding and amen and go out there and sign the license and you should, okay, let's go. What are you in a hurry about, Joe? Well, I just thought we ought to be going now. Hey, are you kidding? His woman was standing there in all of the beauty that she could have. And it's a done deal. And he was filled with joy. And his heart couldn't wait to be with her. And she with him. Listen, if you don't think your God in heaven doesn't think those thoughts towards you, then you're missing the boat. Jesus is going to rejoice. Why do you think in Revelation 19 that we've been studying on Wednesday nights, we're called the bride and he's the bridegroom? It's going to be great. It'll be a honeymoon to pass all honeymoons. It'll be the most precious thing. So he goes on to say, verse 11, "These things command and teach." Literally in the Greek, "these things transmit and receive." It's a military command. Para anglio, transmit alongside these truths to the hearers. And so now in verse 12, we enter the part of the victorious Christian soldier in conduct and routine. And so he says, "Now, Timothy, let no one despise your, or look down upon your youth." This word in the Greek, youth, means somebody between 29 and under 40. So we get a good ballpark idea of Timothy's age. He was a young guy concerning the ministry. Listen to this. This is precious. He says, "Timothy, I know you're a young punk. God's called you, man. Grow up. And listen, Timothy, don't let anybody put you down because you're young." And in fact, he's going to say, "But be an example." That word "but" is where, hey, rebuttal. You want to rebuttal your age, Timothy? Then be an example. If people are saying, well, he's just a young punk. Well, you want to put their mouths to silence? Be an example, Timothy. You can rebut their comments by being a godly example. And it's true. We have people like J. Vernon McGee and others who were very young pastors, very young. And by their examples, people shut their mouths and they began to sit under their ministries and be blessed. Look at Greg Laurie. That guy's been teaching forever. You know, it seems like forever. And it has been forever. It's been a long time. And he started out young. And so many. So how do you combat your youth in the ministry, Timothy? By being a godly example. By being an example to the believer and to those that are outside. In 1 John 2:13, it says, I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. And I write to you, little children. Are you able to overcome the devil? Through the word of God. Now, he says, be an example to the believers in word. That is not the word of God. That is in your words. In conduct, that is your lifestyle. Have you ever heard that saying? Excuse me, your life is speaking so loud, I can't hear what you're saying. You ever heard that? Boy, isn't that true? Your life speaks so loud, people can't hear what you're saying. In some cases. There was a man back in Philadelphia. This Amish farmer was out there, and this traveling evangelist came by, and he saw this man working out in the field. He pulls over, comes up there, and he goes, brother, are you saved? And the guy looked at him, and he goes, well. And he thought for a moment, and he gave an incredible response. He said, I want you to go ask, you know, JoJo and Betty Lou and Mary Bop. And he gave 10 names. He goes, well, who are these people? And he goes, well, one's my wife. The others are my children. One's the pastor. The other one's the bartender. The other one is the city drunk. And he gave this list of believers and non-believers. And the guy goes, what'd you give me this for? He goes, well, you know what? It'd be better if you asked them if I was saved than ask me. Is that heavy? What do people say about us? Are you saved? Hey, you know what? Ask my wife. Don't they know, really? Ask your boss. Ask my boss. Don't they know, really? We've got stickers and banners and posters all over our cubicle at work. I'm a Christian. Praise the Lord. God's coming back. You know, and then we're on the phone cheating on income tax. Well, can't you just fix this a little bit? Hey, the guy over there is hearing you. If not, there's some angels sitting around your desk listening. We need to be careful. Do our lives, is our conduct making that statement? Are we living the life?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a look at the last 10 verses of 1 Timothy chapter 4, where Paul admonishes Timothy to shun old wives' tales and to stick with the teaching of Scripture, God's written word. We'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, just a reminder that if you've made Real Radio a part of your life, let us know. It's easy to do so. Call, click, or write. When visiting us at realradioactive.org, for instance, just click where it says, Send Us a Message. realradioactive.org. Or use our toll-free phone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or drop us a card or a letter in the mail. Our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.